Hey, is this thing on? Oh, it is? Word. You are now listening to Lecture Hall, brought to you by StudentUnionSports.com.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Sorry I'm late. It's just like this new schedule's totally confusing.
Infiltrate the dealers, find the supply.
We get to be brothers?
Infiltrate the dealers, find the supply.
I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
Hey, Greg, why don't you go piss your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago, asshole.
Now you're all in big, big trouble.
Oh, what is up, everybody? And welcome to another episode of Lecture Hall, brought to you by Student Union Sports. It's your boys. It's Big Hoppa. It is Shooter. Ceilings Shooter. Me with that syllabus.
What's up, guys? Classes in session. Full slate of college basketball on your syllabus with a little bit of college football sprinkled in there. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. It's December 1st.
And let me be the first to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving.
It's December 1st, but it's feeling like March 1st with all of these college basketball upsets. We had Richmond beating number 10 Kentucky in the Rupp Center. That's what it's called out there in Kentucky?
Rupp Arena.
Rupp Arena, that's it.
Yeah, the Rupp Center, baby.
The Rupp Center. I was thinking the Yum Center. I had the other Kentucky school, you know? San Francisco beat number 4 Virginia. Vatek beat number 3 Villanova. Big time March implications already, and it's only December.
We've had a couple ranked matchups. Texas Tech Houston was on Sunday. Michigan State, ranked 8th right now against 6th Duke, is up 11 on the Blue Devils. There have been some awesome games through Feast Week and continuing. It's basketball every day. We have these early tournaments that you're getting basketball at like 11 in the morning. You're getting it at noon, all through the evening. What a great time to be alive.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday, and Purdue played at 3 o'clock today.
Badgers played at 4.
And Purdue beat Oakland by like 43 points today at 3 p.m. to move to 2-1 on the season. A decent win against Liberty, not an awful loss against Clemson, but that's a game you're going to wish you had won come tournament time. And then, I mean, Oakland. They forced OT against Michigan the other day, which, I don't know, maybe that helps the resume, depending on what happens with Michigan. But forced overtime and still lost doesn't really hold any weight, in my opinion. But Purdue's 2-1. How are your Badgers, Hoppa?
Badgers 3-0, ranked 4th in the country. Second straight game with at least four players in double figures. Sophomore forward from Minnesota, Tyler Wall, looked really good. You can go check out. I kind of did like a preseason / first week Badger basketball blog earlier today, so you can go check that out. I tweeted that out. Or you can just go check it out on StudentUnionSports.com. But yeah, they're looking good, man. I highlighted it in that article. This team is like 8 to 9 guys deep, a good mix of young and old. I'm excited for the Badgers. I hope they don't let me down.
Yeah, how does it feel to be the 4th ranked team in the country and still be the 2nd best team in your conference?
You know, I'd argue we're the best. We are the reigning Big Ten champions. So,
Iowa's ranked 3rd, though, right?
Iowa is ranked 3rd. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. People like Luka too much. He's an ugly, ugly person. Physically, he might have a heart of gold, but
he is not a very physically appealing person. You know what else is not very physically appealing? Purdue football.
Oh, God.
Tough loss.
Visceral reaction to that for me.
Tough loss this weekend to Rutgers. You know, America's team, your traditional powerhouse.
I lost a lot of money on that game. Not a lot of money. I lost a small amount of money, and I also lost the opportunity to win a lot of money because they couldn't maintain a win by 6.
Yeah, and you lost a lot of money, and I'm not feeling
you right now.
Hope and dignity, so.
Pride?
Yeah, I've had I had season tickets for a 4-year stretch where Purdue won 6 games, and somehow the state of the program feels worse currently. So do with that as you will. The Badgers did not
play. Hey, at least you're a Big J. You get to go into the box.
Yeah, I get to sit in a quiet press box and eat free food after I drive 3 hours down there and spend $40 in gas.
What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do? How about the Badgers did not play this week because of a COVID outbreak with Minnesota? No axe game. Minnesota keeps the axe for another year. How do you feel about that?
No, they don't.
Didn't they win last year?
We won it last year. It was 2 years ago.
Oh, they won it 2 years ago. My bad.
It's all right. It stays in its rightful home as it has for, it feels like, hundreds of years now. It feels like, you know, it's just what it is. You know, you got to give the little brother one every once in a while before he throws the controller in anger. That was 2 years ago. Now we're back on a streak. We'll see how long this one goes, but...
Yeah, and then we had Ohio State not able to play against Illinois, so that makes their second cancellation of the season. One more, and they can't play in the Big Ten title game. If they can't play in the Big Ten title game, can they play in the playoff? Anthony would say yes. The majority of student union would say no. We'll see how the committee handles that one if it gets to that point. And then Indiana quarterback Michael Penix Jr. is out for the season with a torn ACL. Not to be Big Ten football homers, but honestly, that's the only conference that matters. I guess Iowa State's about to win the Big 12, so Brocktober is now Brosember. I don't know.
Brocktember?
Brocktember.
I don't hate that. That has kind of a ring to it.
It does a little bit. Brocktember.
December.
Per December.
Per December. I don't hate that either.
Throw it on a t-shirt.
Yeah, let's go. Those t-shirts will be out. All you Iowa State fans I know we have on here on Lecture Hall, you can wait. That shirt will be up at midnight.
We'll get that
merch gods!
We'll get Big Takes' his very own per December shirt on our dime.
Oh my god, that would be hilarious. You'd probably burn it immediately.
It'd be content. Content's content. Papa, when your team has an ugly performance on the field, you know how you can help them not look ugly off the field?
Is it Gibbs grooming? Yeah, it's Gibbs grooming. I absolutely can't. Speaking of ugly, everybody, if you are looking at me right now in the eyeballs, you would see a messed hair, unshaven neck, look absolutely disgusting, almost as bad as Purdue did against Rutgers. However, folks, that can all be changed. Once we get done recording, I'll go shower up, get shaved up using the Sharp Dressed Mane Shave Gel, probably use the Washbuckler Soap Bar, the 3-in-1 Beard Hair and body wash, and the biofuel conditioner, one of many, many, many fantastic products from Gibbs Grooming. You can go to gibbsgrooming.com, GIBSGROOMING.com, Gibbs Grooming. It's the holiday season. You can get 15% off using the code HALL15, HALL15, at gibbsgrooming.com, HALL15, to get 15% off your order. Look, you can get it for a loved one. You know what? You can DM me on Twitter. You can at me on Twitter and at Gibbs Grooming on Twitter and ask for my address. I'll send it to you. You can send me Gibbs Grooming. If you're feeling nice and you want to send me Gibbs Grooming, hey, go for it. I'll do it. I'll use it. GibbsGrooming.com. GIBSGROOMING. GibbsGrooming.com. Use the code HALL15, HALL15, for 15% off.
All right, Hoppa, we had a couple debatably greatest performances ever this weekend, one in college football, one in the NFL. You kind of went off on a little blogging spree Saturday afternoon.
I'm kind of hot right now.
Yeah, don't let Big Hoppa get hot on the keyboard. We've got a student union our article competition, a little views competition extending throughout the end of the year. There's some rewards on the line, I'll say. And, you know, absolutely. Hoppa's got to send baby Hoppa to college because his gambling isn't getting it done.
Absolutely not.
So, Hoppa, you took to the keyboards to talk about Jarrett Patterson on Saturday. He rushed for 409 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Yes, 36 carries, 409 yards, and 8 scores, tying the record all time. It was a beautiful performance. Buffalo puts up 70 points to Kent State's 41 on Saturday. It was an incredible performance. Just for continuity's sake, you know what 36 divided by 8 is? It's 4.5. Basically, one out of every 4 carries, you can round up, call it 5, he was housing one. Jarrett Patterson had house calls of, and let me make sure I get these right here. 3 yards, 31 yards, 42, 49, 1, 7, 11, and capped it off with a 58-yarder in the fourth quarter. But, yeah, absolutely, he ties Howard Griffith of Illinois, who set the NCAA record with 8 rushing touchdowns against Southern Illinois in September of 1990. But I'll give you a couple more here. I believe it was the 1999 season, LT LaDainian Tomlinson for TCU played UTEP and had a 406 6 touchdown game. That record of 406 yards from single game rushing yards for 15 years until former Badger Melvin Gordon did it. That's RBU, folks. Former Badger. It took him 3 quarters and only 25 carries to rack up 4 touchdowns and 408 yards. Ironically enough, that record that stood for 15 years lasted 7 days, as Samaje Perine of Oklahoma, as a true freshman, broke Melvin Gordon's record and rushed for 427 yards the next week with 5 touchdowns, which is a very, very strong case. But I do think Jarrett Patterson's 8 touchdown, 409 yard performance is the greatest we've ever had. Howard Griffith, so for comparison's sake, there were a couple guys with like 7 touchdowns that only had like 300 or so yards. But I think Patterson with the 8 touchdowns and then now having the second highest total with 409, beating Perine by 1 yard, is definitely like LT, 6 touchdowns, you know, Perine had some more yards, but 3 more touchdowns wins in my book. Patterson, I do believe, had the best rushing performance of all time.
Yeah, I would have to agree with Patterson having the singular best performance just because he was able to put the yards and the touchdowns together. Most guys, like you said, they'll go for 7 scores, but it'll be like 320 yards or something. And LT is, I think LT has to be the second. I don't think there's any debate. Him being able to put 6 touchdowns and 406 yards together probably has to be the second best performance of all time, even if we're expanding outside of the 4 guys you mentioned there.
Yep.
And then after that, I think is when you get to start throwing in some of those 7 touchdown, 300 yard performances.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's, you get a very Homer feel if you read my article and the part where I talk about Melvin Gordon. For some context, that was pointed out as UTEP was not good in the late 90s. Granted, they've never been good. Samaje Perine, he had that performance against a Kansas team that went 3-9. Melvin Gordon, for what it's worth, that was a 9-win Nebraska team that we later destroyed. I believe, was that the year? Is that the same year we beat them in the Big Ten Championship game too? I don't think so. That might be the case. I'm not for sure. But that was a 9-win Nebraska team. And only doing it in 3 quarters. When you look up since 2000, essentially like once you get to this list of and combining the touchdowns and the yards, he was easily the most efficient with 16 yards per carry. Even Patterson, he's second on the list between those four that I mentioned and most of the other ones, and he was like 11 points then here, or you can do math, 36 divided by 409. So I think Gordon, like, has a case for the most part, but the touchdowns aren't there. But yeah, I mean, it's just incredible to see how it basically was like LT kind of had like the standard, and obviously Howard Griffith had 8 touchdowns, which is had never been done until Patterson just did it on Saturday.
Yeah, and the thing that stinks for Gordon and Patterson both is, like you said, Gordon got pulled after the third quarter and missed out on 15 minutes of being able to add on to that, because you know when you're up that much, you're running the ball. He could have had damn near 550 yards and close to that 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I believe the Badgers, I know I went and looked at the box score, and I think they had 3 drives in the fourth quarter, and two were like rushing, two were like 6 play, 60 yard drives that were like all 6 runs. So he definitely, it was like 49-17 when he came out in the third. And yeah, so Gordon definitely, I mean, it's not the brand of football that Wisconsin plays. And I mean, I don't know how you feel about this, and this might be a conversation for another time, but you can tell me. Like, they're up 63, or no, he didn't have the last score. They were up 56-41, or like 38 or whatever Buffalo was. So a pretty comfortable lead midway through the fourth quarter. Like, I get why you want him in, because you want him to keep going, but like, isn't that a little greedy? Am I like wrong? Is that just the way I was brought up, or is it?
I'd say it's greedy, unless you are that close to an NCAA record. And at that point, I feel like if you're an opposing coach, you just have to get it. Like, you're this close. Like, when is this guy ever going to be close to being able to hold an NCAA record like that again? Records are meant to be broken. Let him get the record and then pull him out. But talk about a stooge. His coach not knowing how close he was to that record and then pulling him.
Yeah. Well, and so like the thing is too, is like he had that 58 yarder and that's what basically got him to 400 and that 8th score. But then they ran for it after that and scored. So it's like, why not get them both at the same time? So it's like, I don't know. It's kind of weird. I didn't watch the game. I don't know how many people probably did, but, It was just kind of a weird way to go back and look at the play-by-play and box score. It's like, why didn't you just keep giving the guy the ball? Because, like, he could have just broken both.
I don't know. It's Mac football.
Maction, baby.
And then going over to the NFL, another arguably greatest performance of all time, Tyreek Hill. 13 receptions, 269 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I think in a standard PPR league, he had close to 70 points. I can look that up real quick.
Yeah, let's do the math. Let's do some mental math here. 6 times 3 is 18. Was it 12 catches?
13.
13 catches plus 18 is 31 plus what? You said 269 plus 26.9.
57.9. Sheesh.
That is more than a few. Let's see, is that the record? I know we have this. 62.1 is the record that I'm seeing.
Yeah, that is, well, as of 2016.
Yeah, it could be much worse or better. I'm not sure.
Playing against a defense as good as Tampa Bay's is, would you call that the greatest wide receiver performance of all time? Because it looks like currently number one is Jimmy Smith in 2000 against the eventual Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens, which another pretty solid defense. Went for 15 catches, 291 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
See, you bring up an interesting point, because it was also the same this weekend. I believe it was like Friday or Saturday. It was like the 10-year anniversary or something of Randy Moss having 3 catches for like 169 and 3 touchdowns. So it's an interesting kind of talking about like Melvin Gordon, like with the efficiency. It's like, is it? I guess, well, you know, maybe the world has yet to find out.
I feel like a wide receiver goes for 200 yards like every year, though.
Oh, I would definitely say that that's probably the case. Like, I'm not too positive as to what that looks like.
I mean,
but
Ty Freifogel did it back to back weeks this year in college football. And nobody even put that into a conversation of like top performance of all time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's a very good point actually that you make there. I'm trying to, as we go. So this is from in a single game from 1950 to 2020. What would be PPR league? So point per reception, one singular point. Tyreek Hill would have just had the seventh best. This is with only receivers. Jerry Rice had a game where he had 65, which was a game against Atlanta where he had 13 catches for 225 and 5 touchdowns. So I don't know. I mean, you can go back and like equate, but that is definitely up there.
Yeah, I think just nobody cares about wide receiver performances, honestly. A wide receiver really doesn't get that same hype as a running back.
Oh, not at all. It's actually insane because if you look, so when I just ran that search, I did over 55 PPR points. And so it has Jerry Rice is actually on the list twice, but Hill being the seventh best performance, every team won their game except for Jimmy Smith against Baltimore, which is the second best performance of all time. That's kind of funny to think about.
Just real quick, what would be the best fantasy running back performances of all time? How do those compare to what Patterson just did?
So per fantasy with PPR, yeah, see, this is includes like some – oh, my God. Okay, so so this goes back to 1950, so keep that in mind. So this has to have put everything into perspective and been calculated. So the best all time was Billy Cannon in the AFL. He had 68 PPR points even. He went 0-for-1 passing. He had 25 carries for 216 yards and 3 touchdowns and hauled in 5 catches for 114 yards and 2 touchdowns. Then you have in second a performance by Jamaal Charles by – he almost beat him by a full 10 points, 59.5 for Jamaal Charles. That was 8 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown, and then 8 catches for 195 yards and 4 touchdowns. So I would say as if you put Patterson's numbers into perspective, you're looking at the greatest fantasy performance of all time.
Honestly, I mean, it has to be just because he had everything there.
I mean, he didn't. Well, it's the catches, though. So I don't know, because he didn't really utilize that PPR. But what's eight? I mean, what's eight times six? 48. So 48 plus 40.9 is 88, almost 90 PPR points. And that's just basically rushing. He didn't have a catch. What do you, that is insane.
Imagine waking up on like a Monday morning, you forget to check your fantasy lineup. You had some things to do. You're taking care of your kid. You're buying groceries. You're all out and about. You wake up on Monday morning when you get to work. You're at the office. You're bored. You're like, oh, let's see if I won this week. You know, big playoff implications on the line. And you see.
Yeah, we're getting down to the nitty gritty.
And you see that your opponent's running back went off for 90 points.
That would be, I would quit. Immediately never play again type of situation. Granted, it's a college running back in a college game and it's not the NFL, but for what it's worth.
I mean, that's like the equivalent of our guy JT. He went up against Tyreek and another dude that went off for like 35 points after he himself had like Antonio Gibson go off for 30. That's brutal. It's a tragic way to do it. It really makes you feel like a stooge, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. My team sucks in our league.
Yeah. You wanna talk some stooges here? Bring back some stooges of the week.
What's the big idea, Egghead?
It is Stooge of the Week.
Yes, I do.
Hoffa, who is your Stooge of the Week?
My Stooge of the Week is Bill O'Brien. Come on down.
Really?
Bill O'Brien, you stooge, you idiot, you buffoon. The Texans did win on Thanksgiving, 41-25, against a very bad Dolphins team. Or, sorry, Lions team. That is my bad. But I literally cannot think. Like, I was just watching that game, and it's like, dude, they put up 41 points with Will Fuller having a career game. Imagine if they had DeAndre Hopkins. They would certainly not be in this situation where they're 4-7, and they'd probably be 7-4. Let's be honest. J.J. Watt wouldn't hate his life and wish he was somewhere else. It's just a wild, wild time and such a crazy, like, I still can't believe you made that trade.
Yeah, you can only call Bill O'Brien a stooge so many times before you just have to retire him as a stooge of the week, and he's just on your stooge Hall of Fame. Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame stooger. And it's even better that on Thanksgiving, DeAndre Hopkins tweeted that he was thankful for the Arizona Cardinals because they didn't trade him for a third round pick or something like that.
Yep. You gotta love the social media age.
Yeah, I hope to God that I meet Bill O'Brien one day just so I can take a picture with him all nice and then just Instagram Hall of Fame stooger.
There would be, I mean, we have photo editing ability. We gotta be able to make this a thing.
A picture of me and Bill O'Brien. Oh, shoot.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
I hate Bill O'Brien as much as the next guy, but we need to lay off the Bill O'Brien slander. So give you my
Wow, look at you taking the high road.
Yeah, I'm just trying to transition to my stooge of the week. You didn't do it. All right, my stooge of the week. My stooge of the week is Syracuse quarterback Rex Culpepper. Not because he goes to Syracuse, but because with the game on the line, fourth down, like 22 seconds left on the clock, the clock's running, you need to score. And Hoppo, if you were a quarterback in that situation, like I said, fourth down, you're losing, you're in the red zone, you need to score. What do you do in that situation?
Generally speaking, I would survey the defense. I would maybe try to get somebody to jump off sides quick. No go, probably snap it and throw it to my best receiver. Or, just try to make a play with the legs.
Yeah, he did not do that. He took the ball and threw it straight at the ground trying to stop the clock. But it was fourth down, so Syracuse lost on a turnover on downs. It was probably their best performance of the year all around in football. And, it ended in the most Syracuse fashion possible.
People are asking, is Syracuse the college football version of the Chargers?
What? They're the college football version of the Browns.
What? That doesn't make sense. Because the Chargers always lose in weird ways.
No, the Falcons always lose in weird ways. The Syracuse is the college version of the Browns just because they're so horrendous.
I mean, I would say like Vanderbilt is like the Browns.
Vanderbilt, Kansas, Syracuse. That's the holy trinity of bad college football.
It's the Bermuda Triangle. The right Bermuda Triangle shit college football programs.
All right. We've had enough stooges. We're going to go from one loser to another loser. The segment you all listen for, the NFL Week 12. I only know that because of all the jokes about the Steelers and the Ravens. NFL Week 12, biggest winners and losers. Hoppa, who is this week's biggest winner?
The biggest winner this week is the NFL. The league office itself, winners once again, dominating headlines, dwarfing college basketball, dwarfing some good college football. The NFL would not be the NFL in its petty ways without having to dominate headlines with pushing back the Ravens and Steelers. Now they're playing Wednesday afternoon. Like, what are you doing, man? Like... You gotta have, like, oh my god, just not having a contingency plan for an extra week just in case in the first place. That is the constitute potential. But just an absolute horrific scheduling nightmare. What a fucked up situation that whole thing is.
This is your biggest winner?
Yeah, dominating headlines. I mean, they're making money.
I was so confused. I zone out for a second. You're sitting here trashing the NFL. I was like, they're the winner this week? I guess. I mean, anything the NFL does, positive or negative, dominates headlines. Yes, what a debacle this is. I think our fearless leader, Liam, summed it up pretty well yesterday. He said the year's 2036, Joe Rogan's president, all shopping is automated by Amazon, and the Steelers and the Ravens are still trying to schedule their 2020 Week 12 matchup.
It's very possible. I mean, at this point, what else could there be to do? Just keep pushing it back. Why not?
Everyone loves some Wednesday afternoon football, don't they?
You know what they say. Death, taxes, Wednesday afternoon football.
The only guarantees in life. Another guarantee.
You're not paying attention.
The fourth guarantee in life is that we're going to bring you our winners and losers every week. My biggest winner is the New York Football Giants and the Washington Football Team for being two of the worst teams in the NFL, but one of them is going to host a playoff game. Both of them are four.
Wow.
Both of them are 4-7. 4-7 finishes in last place in just about any other division in the NFL. Not the NFC East.
Just about.
Not the NFC East. 4-7 hosts you a playoff game. With the Washington Football Team, the New York Giants, I think the Giants have the tiebreaker right now, but what is it? It's only week 12. There's a lot of football left to be played, but one of these teams is going to finish under 500 and host a playoff game. They're persevering so much. Imagine playing for a team that's 4-7 and, like, your soul can't like quit on the team, because it's like, man, we are so bad. We every time we touch the field, it sucks. But we have to keep playing because we're fighting for a playoff spot.
They don't even have to try, and they're like still, like, them going out and losing is the same as them going out and not trying and still winning a division. They can try just as hard as they aren't actually trying and be in the same position as they are right now.
Just think, some of the teams that we trash for being horrible, the Texans, the Lions, the Bears, the Vikings, the Falcons, they would all be in contention for, or even the lead in the NFC East.
So there are, I'm counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 teams in the NFL who would not be winning the division. Two are obviously Philly and Dallas, who are not currently leading that division, but they're all in the AFC. The Chargers, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and the Jets are all teams that would not qualify to lead that division. How many teams are there in the NFL?
32.
So if you divide 6 by 32, only 18% of the league would not at least share. Under 20% of the league would not at least lead that division or share.
That is an absurd statistic. There's your East Coast Provisions Company mental pretzel of the week.
Yes, a third one for you. We should probably talk to them about that. I would gladly sit here and eat pretzels and talk to you.
We'll throw it on the agenda.
And the listeners. Mostly just Jenna.
We'll throw it on the agenda. Hoppa, who is your Week 12 biggest loser?
You're not going to like this. I'm gonna warn you right now. The biggest loser is your Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, that hurt a little bit. Obviously missing some pieces. So this isn't because they lost this week. It's more because I can't figure out if they're actually fucking good. They get mollywopped with not enough people on their on the roster. After doubling up Tennessee, they get murdered by Tennessee 2 weeks later. Obviously beat my Packers in overtime, and I think the Packers are a good team. They lost to the Ravens. The Ravens are kind of struggling. And you go back, and it's like, okay, like they beat some good teams, like that Bengals game, they struggled. And then you look, and they lost by 7 to Jacksonville. Jacksonville hasn't won a game since they beat Indy. It's like, I get their 7-4. They're a great team, a great defense, but dude, your Colts need to figure it out.
Yeah, I would enjoy it if they would figure it out because, you know, I'm trying to win a division here. I would just like to see them in the playoffs. And with the AFC the looking the way it is, it's very realistic that they could go 11-5 and miss the playoffs.
Imagine, that actually might be the funnier part.
Imagine going 11-5, potentially, and missing the playoffs. They're such a weird team. And granted, DeForest Buckner, you know, one of the best linemen in the NFL, he was out. Jonathan Taylor, starting running back, he was out.
Former Badger.
Yeah. Bobby Okereke, he plays linebacker opposite to Darius Leonard, he was out. And then yeah, Autry, he was out as well. So you're missing three very important pieces on defense. You're missing your starting running back, and not to mention Ryan Kelly, starting center, didn't play, and Anthony Costanzo got hurt and came out in the game. Lots of issues with injuries in every area of the Colts starting lineup. I mean, Paris Campbell's been hurt all year. Tell me this. How is Phillip Rivers still on his feet? How has he not broken something by now? Let me say this. He was questionable in practice this week. He hurt his toe against the Packers.
Old age.
He hurt his toe against the Packers, so he has been hobbling around a little bit. Maybe that's why he looked so horrible against the Titans of all teams.
I mean, even like, you know, most 80-year-olds need a walker, you know, just like, I mean, he's basically 80 when it comes to football terms, but.
Yeah, I think what they do with him is he has his walker as he goes to the tunnel, but as he gets to the part of the tunnel where the stadium can kind of see him coming out, someone comes and takes his walker, and then he, like, gingerly walks to the sideline, and then as soon as he gets back in the tunnel, they throw that walker at him, and he just slumps over it.
It's like, have you ever seen the movie The Usual Suspects?
No.
Okay, great movie. Might be problematic because it has Kevin. Which one is it? I don't know. Not the good one.
Spacey.
Is that who it is? Kevin Spacey
from Let me double House check. Of Cards. The one who had
Kevin Spacey. Yep. So it plays the role of a person who. Is like slightly disabled, and so he walks like his foot is turned in, and he walks with like this limp, and he holds his hand weird. But at the end of the movie, spoiler, he like, as he walks away from this police station, his limp goes away, and he walks like normal, and he lights a cigarette, and his hand is fine. And that's like Phil Rivers as he walks out of the tunnel. He's like this ginger, very frail person, but then as he comes out to play on Sunday, he just gets better, and then he just slowly limps back in.
He's drinking holy water pregame to heal himself.
I mean, we do know that he is very, very holy man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how religious he is, but I know that he takes the part of the Bible that says be fruitful and multiply. He takes that one to heart. He's a big fan of multiplication, and we're not talking math.
Wow, you did a good job there. That was really nice. You stumbled over your words like he stumbles to the locker room.
I think we just found out that I can't say multiplication. There we go.
Hey, that wasn't bad. Look at you.
We'll check back next week and see if I can say division. My biggest loser is, I mean, kick them while they're down. The Detroit Lions, they just had to fire their GM, Bob Quinn. They had to fire their head coach, Matt Patricia. So I guess you could make an argument that they're the biggest winners because they got rid of what arguably was holding them down, but they're the biggest losers. They're probably, honestly, I think they're a worse franchise than the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they've had periods where they're okay, but you know they're always going to lose in the worst way possible. Like, imagine being such a poorly run franchise that you have arguably the two best individual skill position players of all time in Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson. Yeah, at their respective positions. That's what I was trying to say. With Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson, and they both hate playing for you so badly that they retire early and leave millions on the table. Imagine taking a quarterback who is as good and as capable as Matthew Stafford. I mean, your guy Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee and was bragging about how good and how underrated Matt Stafford is. Imagine wasting his career. They're a joke. Like,
yeah.
Patty was calling
Bears
fan, like, what was it? Like,
insufferable.
Yeah, what was the phrase he used for that? It was like fan purgatory or something. Yeah, misery purgatory. The Lions are the definition of misery purgatory.
Yeah, I mean, they win like six games a year, so it's like they're always kind of close, but they're also not. I don't know. It's just a weird spot for them to be in. They're not good. It's crazy town. I will say, if we're going into our closing remarks and talking about this, is I've seen the comparison between DK Metcalf and Calvin Johnson.
I like it.
I don't hate it. It's not that far off.
I mean, they're the same body.
Absolutely.
DK might even be more athletic than Calvin Johnson.
He's faster, that's for sure. But
he's bigger, at least like muscular-wise. The dude's way bigger than Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, he's like an inch shorter and like 10 pounds less if per their Pro Football Reference.
Actually, now that we're talking about Calvin Johnson, I have a Calvin Johnson story.
All right. End us with this, please.
Yes, my sophomore year of college, sophomore, freshman year of college, we're at on a Saturday morning practice at one of the golf courses in Chicago. Calvin Johnson is retired by then, and we're on the range where, I mean, we're hitting balls, and it's me, one of my other teammates, and then this giant behemoth of a man. Huge, tall, one of the tallest people I've ever seen is hitting on the other side of my teammate. And I mean, we kind of look at him and we're just like, I mean, that dude, I mean, he's like super athletic, he's tall. It's like, I mean, that guy must be somebody. And we like carry on with our practice, whatever. We get in the van and we're driving home. And one of our former teammates used to work at that golf course, and he texts one of them, and he's like, dude, Calvin Johnson's at Harborside right now. Are you guys out there? And he was like, we literally just left. And then we all started putting the pieces together. We're like, yeah, we were hitting golf balls next to Calvin Johnson for a solid 30 minutes, and nobody even realized that it was Calvin Johnson.
Nobody had a clue.
Nobody had any idea.
That is crazy town.
The funniest part is the teammate that dude texted is a diehard Lions fan. He's from Detroit, and he couldn't piece together that it was Calvin Johnson hitting next to us.
Oh, that doesn't spell out the Lions franchise and maybe what should be the end. I don't know what does, but I think this is the end for us here at Lecture Hall. Go ahead, take a look, studentunionsports.com. You can check out all of our great blogs, all of our great podcasts, everything that we have to offer. You obviously support your boys here at Lecture Hall. Go check out Gibbs Grooming for more. By this time next week, we might be in conjunction with Eastern Standard Provisions, whatever, East Coast Provisions, Pretzels. Might have a new segment. Might have Bill O'Brien in the Stooge Hall of Fame. Who knows, folks? There's a lot that could happen here at Lecture Hall. But please, please, Harrison, send us away.
Yeah, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever else you listen to your podcasts. That being said, class is dismissed.
Deuces!